2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 5 through 16. This is the reading of God's word. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same will be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior and God. We thank you that your word testifies about Christ. It tells us who he is, what he has done, what he has accomplished for your people, us. Once again, let us meet you, our God, in your word, and let us hear your loving voice through your word. And we pray that your word will be preached correctly and understood by your people correctly, that we may believe your word and we may obey your word. Oh, Father, let us, by your grace, be more and more like Christ, growing to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In these two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul is teaching us the biblical principle of the Christian offerings. So far, we have concluded that it is God's grace. Just the fact that you are giving according to the will of God, it is the grace of God. Even non-Christians, they may give, but they will never be able to give according to the will of God. They will give for many reasons, selfish reasons, but it will never be according to God's will. So the offering itself is the witness of God's grace, and it is to witness the quality of heaven, and we saw that, so we move on, and it is the gospel itself. It witnesses Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Now we come to chapter 9, verse 6 today, and we'll finish chapter 9 today. And if you are getting tired of this topic of offering, today will be the last one. Well, until God's word says about it in the future. Verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The Apostle Paul now compares the offerings to farming. He's using the language of farming to teach us the principle of the Christian offerings. Sowing and harvesting or reaping. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This seems like a general knowledge even the world knows. I mean, if you sow a lot, then you will reap a lot. If you sow little, then you will reap little. It sounds like a general knowledge even the world understands. But are we to understand this just the way that the world understands it? Is God saying the same thing that the world says? It says that he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Thus, understanding this in a worldly way and mixed with that the earthly greed, and what do you get? The result is the evil of using the offerings as a way to become rich in this world. And that will point to this verse. See, I give a lot to God and he will give me more. So that they're using the offering to become rich. And they dare use this verse, and many like it, to defend their position. Is Paul using the greed in sinful men to gather more money? Is Paul is saying this so that he's actually playing with greed in sinful men so that they may give more? Like, pastor will use this kind of verse to make you give more because I know that in your heart there's greed. You want the things of this world more and more. So if God, I say, if God says, if you sow bountifully and you will reap bountifully, then give a lot so you will get more. Is that what God is saying? If you understand what Paul has been talking about from the very beginning, you know that cannot be what Paul is saying. Paul is not using or playing with the greedy people, their sinful heart, so that they could give more, so that Paul could collect more money. That's not the purpose. Do we give more just to get more earthly things? Is that the principle of offerings? Do you really believe the Christian offering, the principle of the Christian offering is that we give more so that we could receive more earthly things from God? This kind of nonsense is everywhere these days. Now we have already seen that more, the word more to God, is not the same as how this sinful world understands the word more. The widow who gave just 2 coins, according to Jesus Christ, she gave the most bountifully. So even there, you already know this, you give more and you receive more. The more, that the word more in the Bible might not be what the world thinks it is. Well, let us then try to understand this verse 6 biblically. What is Paul actually saying to us? First, let us go to verse 5b, the latter part of verse 5. So that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Here we see the same word, bountiful. It's the same word. But in verse 5, that word, bountiful, is contrasted with what? Affected by covetousness. The bountiful is contrasted with the covetousness. Covetousness, what is that? A greedy desire to have more. What Paul is saying is that it should be bountiful gift, not out of your covetousness. If you give more so that you want more, that's out of covetousness. But the principle, you give more and you receive more, nothing wrong with that. But we'll look at it. What are you getting more as you give more? Is that this world? Well, Paul will tell us what that is. What are we bountifully receiving as we give bountifully? So we're not saying this principle, you give more, you receive more, is wrong. That principle is biblical. You give more, you receive more. But if you understand that you give more to receive more of this world, there is false understanding. The word bountiful in original Greek means literally blessing. Thus, verse 6 reads, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows blessing will also reap blessing. So, the offering is blessing rather than it is given with covetousness. And verse 7 says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. There are people who give grudgingly, under compulsion, meaning they're coerced. You know, some pastors, they will coerce you to give. But God says, don't do that, because God loves a cheerful giver. I don't have to say anything to you. You will cheerfully give. God loves those who give cheerfully. So it is wrong for a pastor to coerce you or, you know, give you false teaching so that you may give more. It is also wrong for you to give out of covetousness. God loves who gives bountifully, with blessing, with cheerfully. Each one must do just as he has purpose in his heart, meaning that you already have determined how much you're going to give. You know how much money is coming to you every month. You already determined how much you're going to give. Each one must give just as he has purposed in his heart. No one should be coerced to give. It is no longer the law. And we have already seen this, that it is no longer law. In the Old Testament, tithe was a law. But it is no longer a law. It's out of your love for God. Thus, cheerfully giving. We saw this already, so let's move on. God loves a cheerful giver. We have a similar verse in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. He who is generous will be blessed. There, God blesses a generous or a cheerful giver. So Proverbs says God blesses a cheerful giver. But here Paul changes God blesses to God loves. Because people might misunderstand. Thus, so far, we are able to say what giving bountiful is. It is not giving grudgingly. It is not giving under compulsion, not giving covetously, and giving bountifully is a good thing. It is when it is given for the wrong purpose. That is what Paul is warning against. You know, when some people come to this kind of thing and they will say, well, since giving a lot to gain a lot is bad, so what is their conclusion? Let's not give a lot. Let's not give at all. Or, since God loves a cheerful giver, but I cannot give cheerfully, so let's not give. Until I'm able to give cheerfully, and I don't know when that day will come. But God says, God loves cheerful giver, but I cannot do that right now, cheerfully give, so let's not give at all. This kind of thing, it does not come from right understanding of God's word. It's coming from evil heart. We are to obey. If God says, I love cheerful giver, then you must give cheerfully, period. You don't wait until you are able to give cheerfully. Because if you do that, it will never come. You obey his will right away. No. Giving bountifully is a good thing. But you give bountifully for right understanding and right purpose. Yes, if you give a lot, you will reap a lot. But what do we reap? That is the question. We do not give to gain God's love or gain the things of this world. The Christian giving is the gospel itself. It is to witness Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. You already received God's love. So you don't do that to gain his love. You already have it if you're a Christian. Because if he did not love you, then you are not a Christian. And we do not give to gain the things of this world. God says already, even before you give, God says, don't worry about what to eat. Don't worry about what to wear. Don't worry about what to drink. I will give all that. But see, greed, that is the problem. You're not happy with how much God gives you. You want more. But if you want more in a spiritual things, that is good thing. But if you are greedy, that is sin. Can you imagine how good opportunity for me to misrepresent these verses to you just to get more money out of you? Because you will give more if your understanding is, oh, if I give 10 bucks, God will give me 100 bucks. Why not give? He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Now, what does it mean to reap bountifully? What are we reaping bountifully? Paul explains in the following verses. So let us carefully follow his argument, because from verse 8, he will tell us, yes, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully, but he will tell you what you are reaping bountifully. Verse 8 and verse 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. It says, as you sow bountifully, you will have always having all sufficiency. We talked about this, the equality of heaven, the life without any lacking. But what is the purpose of all sufficiency according to that verse? Why God will give you bountifully so that you will not lack, but what's the purpose that he will give you all that? It says, so that we may have an abundance for every good deed. God gives you all that, and you have all sufficiency so that you may do good deeds, so that you may give more. Helping others. We reap bountifully what? Good deeds. And in verse 10, the same thing is described as the harvest of your righteousness. Their righteousness is equal to good deeds. So, he who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. Yes, if you give a lot, you will reap bountifully the good deeds. And maybe some of you did not expect that. That's not what I want to reap. But that is what the Bible says. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, God gives, sower is now the one who gives. You know, he is describing offering in terms of farming. So the sower is one who gives. He who supplies the seed to the sower, God supplies the seed. He's the one who gives you the thing that you give. He supplies the seed to you, the sower. And bread, he provides bread for good will supply and multiply. For food, will supply and multiply your seed for what? Sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Do you understand what that verse is saying? God will give you a lot. Why? So that the harvest of your righteousness will increase. Your good deeds will increase. You will be able to live the abundant life of Christian, a life giving yourself to other people. Bountifully you will reap. We reap more and more good deeds, more and more the harvest or the fruits of righteousness. Now, what are we reaping bountifully? The second thing we reap, first is the good deeds. Second thing, verses 11 through 13. Carefully understand what Paul is saying. You will be enriched in everything. See, you will reap bountifully, enriched in everything, for all liberality, which through us is producing what? Thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. Do you hear what God is saying to you? When you sow bountifully, what are you reaping bountifully? Because of all that you give, you will reap thanksgivings to God. People who will be affected by your giving, they will give thanksgivings to God. This is what you will reap bountifully. Do you understand what God is saying to you? We reap thanksgivings to God from all who are involved. The giver will give thanks to God. The recipients will give thanks to God. The observers all give thanksgivings to God. Verse 13 says the same thing as they will glorify God. The giver does not expect anything from the recipients except their thanksgiving to God. They're glorifying God. When you give, you don't expect to get that back or get something else from that person. All you expect is that person who received from you will give thanks to God. You will reap thanksgivings to God. Through the offerings, we reap thanksgivings to God. We glorify God. In other words, we worship our God. Verse 13 tells us that our offerings are the proof for our obedience to our confession of the gospel of Christ. So, what do we reap bountifully as you sow bountifully? We reap a life of worship and faith and thanksgiving. Don't you think that that is worth of your sowing bountifully? What are we reaping bountifully? Third thing, verse 14, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. We reap their prayers on our behalf. Praying for one another, that's what we reap. And fourth thing is the love for one another. We give to them and they yearn for you. Because of the surpassing grace of God in you, longing for one another, deep feelings for one another, we will reap bountifully love. Do you understand God's will in offering? Do you understand His method, His plan? By we live that faithful life of offering, what do we reap? And this is amazing. This is truly amazing to us. That as this church does the offering according to God's will, what will happen? As we give bountifully, what will happen? More and more people will do good deeds. And everybody will give thanksgivings to God. We will cheerfully praise Him and thanks to Him. Then we will pray for one another and we will love one another. This is what will happen. That's what Paul tells us. He tells us that this is the purpose. It's not for you to gain more of this world and the worldly things. That's not why you give. With a bountiful gift that God gives, we also give bountifully to reap the righteous good deeds, the thanksgivings to God, prayers for one another, and love for one another. We sow grace, blessing, and reap grace of God, blessing of God. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Oh, I gotta give you. Oh, I did give you chapter 6, verse 7. Yes, I'm getting old. Just forget what I said like 30 seconds ago. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. What? Verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So again, Paul says, using the language of farming, the principle that we must combine with the principle that we are learning from 2 Corinthians. It says, if you sow fleshly, worldly, you will reap corruption. But if you sow spiritually, you will reap eternal life. So this is very important concept. Giving, offering, is spiritual matter. But the problem is that people, they do spiritual thing, but they want to reap worldly. That's the problem. God says no. If you sow worldly, you will reap worldly. If you sow spiritually, you will reap spiritually. But no, I do all these spiritual things, but I want to reap worldly. Where does this concept come from? Do you see it in the Bible? People are just evil. They don't care about God or what He wants. It's all about me and this world. I want to have it right here. That's all they care about. So they do all these spiritual things, but they want to reap worldly. God says no. You know, we have time. Luke 16. This is a very interesting passage. I want you to understand this. Luke chapter 16. Let's go there. Luke chapter 16. We're going to read from verse 1. This is very fun story. Read it. Let's read it. Well, I read it. You listen. Chapter 16, Luke. Now he was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. And this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager. So, there was an owner, and there was a manager. But manager was taking owner's money for his own profit. So, the owner says to manager, bring your accounting book. Let me see what you're doing. Verse 3. The manager said to himself, what shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. Uh-oh, I'm going to lose my job. And I cannot do any other work. I'm, you know, getting old and there's no other job for me. What am I going to do? Verse 4. I know what I shall do. So that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their home. So he thinks of a great idea. And if he does this, then all those people will help him later. And what was he thinking of? Verse 5. And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So everybody who owes this owner, the manager says, how much do you owe my master? $100. Well, change it to 50. And he's doing this to everybody. Verse 7, then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. Change it to 80, no 100. Verse 8, and his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwelling. He who is faithful in a little thing, very little thing, is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Now, some of you might say, what? What is going on? Let's read the rest of it and I'll explain. Verse 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches to you? Now here, unrighteous wealth is the worldly wealth. And the true wealth is heavenly wealth. Now, verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth together. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all of these things and were scoffing at him. You know, Pharisees that were sitting there because they loved the money. And when Jesus says this kind of stuff, they didn't like it. They didn't like what they were hearing. And you know, so many so-called churchgoers today, they're not going to like what I'm saying. They're probably just like Pharisees. They're not going to like what I'm telling them. But what is God saying through this parable? God says this. If you cannot use someone else's, meaning the owner's money, in a proper way, how are you going to use the true wealth? Meaning that everything you have, it's not yours. It's not your money. That's how world thinks. Christians, we confess that everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Isn't that what we say? Well, at least with our lips we say that, but maybe in our heart, maybe not. So you're using God's money. God says, use that to make friends. That's a wise thing to do. Give. It's not yours anyway. And when you do that, you will make many friends. So it's related to the giving. When you give, give a lot. And you have to understand, it's not yours in the first place. God gave you that. You're using God's money to show other people how good you are. Isn't that a smart thing to do? And when you use worldly wealth in a proper way, God will give you heavenly wealth, because you have proved to yourself and to everybody, you know how to handle true wealth. Pharisees did not like that. That means I have to give. No. But you know why it's so hard? Because you and I, we think it is ours. It's mine. See, that's why it's so hard to give. If you understand, if it is someone else's, don't you think it will be much easier for you to give out if it's someone else's? And who cares, man? It's not your money. You could give it out. And God says that is the reality. That is what is going on in your life even now. It's all God's. So why you act like it's yours? Because that's so dumb. Because later on, when everything is revealed, none of it is yours. Might as well you use someone else's in good things so that people will like you. Do you understand the message? Let us do that. Using God's wealth to make friends. It's a wise thing to do. And when God sees you doing that, He will give you true wealth. Because you show that you are able to handle the wealth. Look. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, God gives you the sower, the seed, and bread. He gives you what you need to sow. He gives you the heart to sow that you may reap abundantly the grace of God to make you more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may more and more give thanksgiving to God and glorify God and love one another. All is God's grace. Verse 9, as it is written, He scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. This verse 9, is written about our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember chapter 8, verse 9? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. All our righteous good deeds are flowing out of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. His righteous life is witnessed through his church, you. Remember, and I'll end with this. Remember, who is the true cheerful giver? Who is the true cheerful giver? It is God the Father who gave to us, not grudgingly, not covetously, but cheerfully he gave us his own Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God. God is the true cheerful giver. Who is cheerful giver? Jesus Christ, who gave to us, not grudgingly, not covetously, but cheerfully his life. He died for us on the cross. This is the grace of God. Through the offerings, God is calling us to live in his grace and witness his grace. God's call to become more and more like God, because he is the true cheerful giver. He gave everything to you. Do you understand the gospel? Now our response to all this is verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. His indescribable gift is Jesus Christ, his Son, and our Lord and Savior and God. See how God giving his Son. See how God giving his Son and the Son giving his life. The giving, sowing, reaps bountiful the thanksgiving to God from all of his people. This is the pattern. God gives and he reaps bountifully the thanksgiving and the worship of God. And that is what this worship is all about. Do you see it? God gave bountifully. And he reaps bountifully the good deeds from his people, thanksgivings to him from his people, and he reaps prayers among his people and love, not only for him, but love for one another. This is the gospel. Let us bountifully give so that we may reap this wonderful blessings of heaven. God's grace. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Your ways are so amazing. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. Let us sow bountifully so that we may reap bountifully the grace of God. Let us give bountifully so that we may reap good deeds, thanksgiving to God, glorifying God, and love and prayers for one another. And when we do this as a church, this church will be able to witness the true reality of the salvation that our Lord has accomplished. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.